Dear brothers and sisters, last week we focused on the ear as one of the deeds of the body that a person must control. Not everything we hear is right, and simply hearing something doesn't always benefit us. It's important to listen only to the truth and discern with the truth. Some people feel extreme happiness when they hear gossip or hear news and stories. They go towards people and ask, oh, you know, what's going on? What's up? And for people that love hearing information and news, we need to reflect upon whether that's actually beneficial to us, because not all information is beneficial. It can negatively impact us sometimes. If there's judgment or condemnation and gossip, then it can be negatively impactful on us. So in a world where, you know, there is a lot of negativity and gossip and judgment and condemnation, it's important for us to control ourselves. We need to control our personalities, our curiosity. Because when we're extremely curious about, you know, what's going on with everyone else's lives, then we end up trying to hear information that doesn't benefit us. So when you hear information about how so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that and so-and-so said this, you know, your ears end up following their words and hearing their words wherever it is you may be, whether you're on the bus or at the hair salon or at the restaurant or a cafe. Sometimes you hear words or information that has nothing to do with you, but you hear it because you're close by. Some people who hear these words that has nothing to do with them still try and listen. And then when you try to listen, you end up getting involved in the conversation, and then you end up conversing with them as well. Some people might think, you know, they're very extroverted and very friendly or easy to talk to. But it's not always the case. Many women, they talk about how, you know, certain foods are great for dieting and how this product is amazing and that you should buy it. But not all that information is right, nor can it be beneficial. So it's important to reflect upon ourselves and just control and actually think if all the information that we hear is beneficial. You know, it's not always easy to get rid of the information that we hear that we don't need and keep what we do need. So it's important to control our ears and focus on what's actually beneficial or not. And of course, today we're going to focus on the eyes, but because last week we focused on the ears, I'm explaining about the ears a little bit more. So for example, many people in Korea, when they're catching the subway, they use their phones, and whatever it is that they see on their phones while sitting down, there are people on the subway that stand. And those people that stand can actually see the person's phone who's sitting down. So it's not actually good manners to look at what other people are doing on their phones, but it's what happens. You know, they end up looking over, they peer over your shoulder and look at your messages or the videos that you're watching on your phone while sitting down. So, you know, without us knowing, we end up being very curious as to what other people are doing and end up peering over and trying to look at what other people are doing or listen to what other people are saying. Or you end up, you know, looking at another person's outfit from head to toe. And of course, you know, males might feel uncomfortable too, but as a female myself, if there's another man that, you know, looks at me from head to toe and gives me a little brows, then, you know, it makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. I'm sure you would feel the same as well, whether you're a male or female. You know, if someone's eagerly looking at you with interest from head to toe. So all of this is something that we need to, you know, control. Sometimes it happens without us knowing. So when we browse at other people or other people's things and what they're doing, it's not really part of good manners. It can be quite rude. If we fail to control our ears and what we listen to, we may end up paying attention to words of judgment and condemnation or untruth. This can lead to sin and a loss in faith. We must have ears that carefully listen to what is good and true and let go of anything that is not truth. When we control our ears to belong in truth and goodness, we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and be transformed more quickly. Today, we'll look at our mouth and the words that we must keep and control. There's a saying that a kind word is better than 1,000 pieces of gold. Another saying, if we think about 1,000 pieces of gold, it's a large amount, it's a large quantity. So say, you know, there was a person who had a debt, then 1,000 pieces of gold would be like a lifesaver for them. There's another saying that the tongue is mightier than the sword. These expressions highlight the power of words. Words not only affect others, but can bring about changes in a person. A common trait found in successful people is that they habitually say that they're lucky or have heard positive words from people around them. Last week, we looked at the ears, and we also looked at, you know, the positive words that we hear whilst growing up. And today, we'll look at something similar, but with our mouths, with our words. And it's also great if you personally also give yourself positive encouragement, good words. So, of course, if you make a mistake, it's always good to look back on your mistake and reflect upon it. But if you keep dwelling on that mistake and stumble and, you know, feel really down about your mistake all the time, and you don't really extend yourself, you don't, you know, get better, you just reminisce on the bad mistakes that you made, then that's darkness in you. They're the dark thoughts in you. When you pray, just like myself, you know, sometimes we start our prayers with, Father God, please help me. I lack in these areas. But if you pray with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but then by the middle or the end of your prayer, you will actually pray saying that, yes, I can do this with your help. You will actually finish your prayer with positivity. Research also shows that verbal abuse from parents can leave a lifelong scar on a child's brain. The analysis of an adult's brain exposed to verbal abuse showed significant differences in neural circuits related to language expression, comprehension, and emotional regulation compared to a typical brain. In other words, they may experience a decline in verbal intelligence. So they may experience a decline in comprehension, depression, anxiety, somatization disorders, dissociative symptoms, and difficulty reconciling their past and present selves. You know, some people might experience a physical symptom with no medical cause. So some people who receive verbal abuse can have these different symptoms that impact their lives. it's not just our personal lives, but it's also the influences from our families. So if the parents were abusive to their children, then at the end of the day, all that abuse gets returned back to the parents. Because if the child grows up, the child becomes an adult and they're stronger than their elderly parents. They can be, and the child, the adult child, can end up being abusive back to the parents. So whatever you do, all that comes back to you. The seed that you sow, the seed that you plant, is what you sow. So how you act towards others, what you say towards others, will be returned. The Bible also teaches that the power of speech is greater than anything else. James 3 verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. James 3 verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A single word from the mouth can kill, give life, ruin a business, or bring about success. In a marriage, a single word, wrong word, can spark a fire that leads to divorce and cause great pain to both the children and families. And of course, it wouldn't just be one single word, but it would probably be, you know, little words that have added up, that have started the ember of the fire until it grows and grows, until that one single word just sparks the fire and makes the problem even bigger. So any words that can be neglectful towards others can be great pain. For someone with a certain social status, their words can either save or cause trouble within the community. Fire is beneficial when used properly, but can be devastating when misused, just like the power of speech. As Christians, we must be cautious about words that blaspheme and speak against the Holy Spirit. Like the Bible says, these words will not be forgiven in this world, nor in the world to come. Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. We must remember that words can preserve or lose life. Words can also affect family, community, and future generations. It's important to take care so that words bring benefit and life, not hardship. Words from the mouth can be separated into two categories: negative and unhelpful words that cause difficulty for yourself and others, and positive and beneficial words that give life. The words that we say is what other people hear. But of course, these words that we say don't just influence the other person, but it also influences us and impacts us. It's like a boomerang. Whatever we say comes back to us. You know, it can come back to us with in pain, troubles, trials, and tribulations. And of course, it can be a great influence on other people as well. To become a perfect person with, who makes no mistakes in speech, we must get rid of unhelpful words like lies, irrelevant answers, jokes, slang, profanity, and curses. Let's look into lying first. Lying can be divided into three main types. First is saying that something was done when it wasn't, and vice versa. A key example of this is false testimony. Through false testimony, an innocent person can suffer great harm. In some case, they can face life or death consequences. And of course, this false testimony doesn't get shown that it was false. So the innocent person ends up suffering. So even if at that time the false testimony doesn't get shown that it was false, at the end of the day, later on, it can give a negative impact. So just because there's no consequences straight away doesn't mean that there won't be consequences later on. Even if it's not false testimony, it's a grave sin if the lie causes harm to other people. Sometimes people spread lies about others and put them in difficult situations because they dislike them or want to make them suffer. Not only spreading lies about, you know, things that another person has not done, they end up making stories up because they're upset about the other person. They don't like the other person, so they end up spreading fake stories or made-up stories, making other people suffer. Even if it seems like there's no immediate consequence to yourself, God judges between good and evil and knows all things. On Judgment Day, the lie will be exposed. Lying often leads to other difficulties in life, but many don't realize this and continue with their lies. So if you receive trials or tribulations and you reflect and think, I haven't really sinned. But what about the words that you've said? What about, you know, words that have made God sad? The negative words, the complaints, the grumbling. What about all those words? That can become and turn into a wall of sin. Words are said, but they disappear. Of course, you know, at the time you might not record it. So all those words that you say on the spot disappear and you can't remember them, but other people can. And of course, heaven records all the words that you've said so far. So all those words that are negative, grumbling, complaints, they become and turn into a wall of sin. And if you don't realize all those words that you've said and you can't repent, then it turns into a big problem. Whether big or small, it's important to avoid lying when in unfavorable situations or for personal gain. As children of the Holy God, we must get rid of blatant and petty lies. The second type of lie is adding or omitting words when conveying information. This happens when someone changes a message based on their own thoughts and feelings or exaggerates or understates inaccurately. Of course, as the church leader, the words that I say, some people use the words that I say and change it according to their benefit and spread that to other people. So when, you know, other people give me information or report back to me regarding certain situations, there are a lot of times when I'm, very surprised and confused because I did not say those words. You know, it would be so great if the words I say were transferred better, word for word, to be honest. You know, sometimes we need to be careful on how we transfer other people's words to others and how we react with those words and the tone of our voice when we say the same information to other people. For example, let's say, you know, you're at the dinner table and there's your favorite side dish, but you came late and, you know, there's barely any left. There's a little bit left. And what happens is that many people say that there's nothing left or that it's all gone, even though there's still a little bit left. So you end up exaggerating. Or you might say that everyone agrees, even though you only spoke to two or three people, and change the words. So exaggeration is often used to strengthen one person's side of the argument or interest. We must be more cautious when conveying messages. Though it's difficult to relay a message word for word, we need to try our best to convey the original intent as much as possible. The meaning of words can change depending on tone, volume, and facial expression. Conveyed incorrectly, words can unintentionally cause division between people. Even though it wasn't, you know, even though it wasn't supposed to be relayed in a bad way, it ended up being relayed in a negative way, which means that the other person who hears that gets hurt. So the person who relays information might not have said it in a negative way or emotional way, but it, you know, the tone of voice ends up being conveyed negatively. So the person who hears it ends up being hurt. So we must think that, you know, the message that we relay, does it have any ill intent? Will it create distance with others? It happens when we misunderstand. The intention might be good, but the person listening may still get hurt. For example, if you've been asked the number of people in a meeting and respond that there's a few without checking, the truthful answer in this case would be to say that you're not sure exactly, but think it's around this many, and then provide an accurate number once confirmed. This is being truthful. This is giving a truthful report. You know, you give an approximate number and tell them it's an approximate number and then check and give the right information. But in our lives, you know, there's so many words that we say blatantly and inaccurately. We should be able to say that, sorry, you know, I apologize, I didn't check properly. This was just my thought, my guess, my estimate. And if you get in trouble, fine, you get in trouble. But the next time you can transform yourself so that you check more accurately next time. But some people pretend that they know the answer without checking. So all of these reports, the information that we say and convey that's not accurate, for those of you that do that, you know, we all need to reflect upon ourselves and see why we don't give accurate information, why we can't say that, you know, I apologize, I wasn't able to check accurately. You know, we need to reflect that this may be because we've got lying attitudes or roots in our heart and the root of not wanting to be wrong and not wanting to show that you're wrong. And some people, when they realize that they're wrong, they don't actually do anything. They don't apologize. They don't try to change. They just look over it. But, you know, if you've got a heart of lying, the desire to appear as though you know something can lead to giving false reports. There are times when people don't correct their wrong, even after realizing their mistake. So those who harbor lies can resort to harmful words when conversing, reporting, or in urgent situations. We must reject and cleanse ourselves from untruth so that our words can be pure and whole. When we look at people that betray, we say that they're evil. But betrayal, lies are included in betrayal. If people continuously lie, then at the end of the day, they may end up betraying. So don't consider lying as a little issue. You must reflect upon yourself. Why is it that you lie? Is it because you want to make yourself better than you actually are? Do you want to stand out? Why is it that you don't want to say, I apologize, I didn't check properly? Why is it that you don't want to, you know, show that you were wrong? Those of you that grow in faith, in spiritual faith, will always, reflect upon yourself and realize that these attributes are of darkness so that you can repent and be transformed. Lying is extremely negative to yourself. You must fix the heart of lying. The third type of lie is making judgments and condemnations of other people's hearts based on your own thoughts. People often judge the intentions or feelings of others based on their own perceptions. This includes interpreting someone's expression or actions based on their own thoughts and feelings. So no matter how perceptive someone is, it's difficult to fully understand another person's heart, even if you have a close relationship. So it's important to realize that, interpreting someone's expression or actions based on your own thoughts and feelings is not always correct. For example, if a work superior reprimands an employee, a person passing by might judge and spread stories that the superior dislikes the employee. And so I say that for me personally, I rebuke people because they're close to me and I feel close to them. I don't rebuke people who I'm not close to. Because if I rebuke them and they stumble, that would become a problem. But I rebuke people that I'm close to and have a vision that they can grow into a better person. So when other people see me rebuking people that I'm close to and think that, oh, that person can't do any work or they're not very good at their work, then that's judgment and condemnation. Judgment and lies can evolve into slander, and those who hear it may also start to judge and form prejudices as well. There are so many instances where people don't know the true heart of another, but judge and slander. Judgment and condemnation often lead to gossip and slander. You might judge and condemn in your thoughts, but as soon as you share those thoughts, it turns into criticism. This is great evil and a serious sin. And just because you think of those judgmental and condemnational thoughts doesn't mean you're not going to share them. So as soon as you share them and say those judgments, it turns into criticism and slander. God strictly speaks against judgment and slander. James, so in lies, there's within the lies, there is judgment and condemnation. And not just lying, but there's also slander and criticism. You know, it's evil on top of evil. James 4, verse 11 and 12. Do not speak against one another. Brothers and sisters, the one who speaks against a brother or sister or judges his brother or sister speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you judging your neighbor? Matthew 7 verses 1 and 2. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Our words should not be of sin, but a mouth that pursues goodness. Proverbs 17 verse 9. One who conceals an offense seeks love, but one who repeats a matter separates close friends. Like the verse says, we must not gossip, judge and condemn, but speak praise and encouragement. It's also important that you never judge God's word. If judging a fellow brother is a great sin, then judging and condemning God according to your own thoughts is an infinitely greater sin. In trials, tribulations, or difficulties, we must reflect on whether we have complained or resented God. If so, we must repent, for only then our problems can be resolved. Just because you sin, when you sin and the problems don't get resolved, you need to reflect upon your past and think about and reflect, reminisce of all the complaints, the resentment, the grumbling that you've said. And it's hard because you can't remember the words that you've said. So what can you do? You need to pray about all the words that you might have said, because then the Holy Spirit will help you remember all the negative words that you've said. You know, we've had a church member that have said that they pray as when they came to our church, that they prayed, and with the help of the Holy Spirit reminded them of all the negative words and the sins that they've done in the past. If your prayers are not answered as desired, you must never speak profane words like God is too harsh or God doesn't love me. Judging and condemning God's power or God's servant will bring trials upon yourself. Any judging and condemnation of God gets returned to you in a negative way. In Numbers 12, we see that Moses' siblings, Aaron and Miriam, spoke against him. In response, God himself spoke concerning this matter. Numbers 12, verses 8 and 9. With him, Moses, I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, Moses? The Lord's anger burned against them, and he departed. Because of this, Miriam was struck with leprosy, but received healing through Moses' faith. Judgment and condemnation are words beyond what's appropriate. If we think about Moses and Moses' siblings, Aaron and Miriam, you know, spoke against Moses. And because Miriam spoke against Moses, was struck with leprosy but received healing through Moses' prayer. And when Moses, as God's servant, prayed on behalf of Miriam, Miriam was able to receive healing. But if you think about this situation and say you are Miriam, if you, you know, criticize and slander and speak against a servant of God, a pastor, but you don't fully repent and you just go before that pastor and say, please help me so that I can receive healing because you have a lot of love, that's not right. You must repent yourself. And when you don't repent and don't break down the wall of sin, but go before a pastor and ask for healing and receive a prayer for sickness, pray for the sick, and don't receive healing, then you need to reflect upon yourself because you have not repented properly. You have not brought down the wall of sin. You know, you need to show in your actions. It's important not to speak against and judge and condemn other people, because that other person that you just condemned or judged could be a lifesaver in the future. So let's not judge or condemn anyone. People that we've ignored before can end up growing up into a great person of power. We must be humble, serve other people, lift others up, not ourselves. Be of servitude to other people, no matter where they are in the social ladder. Judgment and condemnation are words often stemmed from pride and arrogance. Have you ever complained or grumbled when a task was given to you at church? Did you ever think, why am I being given such trivial tasks? Or, I've worked so hard, why am I being treated like this? Or, I'm better than that person, followed by complaints and an uncomfortable heart? Or do you say, I'm grateful for whatever task is given to me? Complaints and ungratefulness also overstep the boundary. I hope you realize this and turn into blessed Christians who acknowledge God in all things and say words of gratitude.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.